Welcome back. Don Chapman is leader of the Lost Canadians. Don, how are you today?
Fine.
Lovely, lovely Arizona. I'm envious, I have to tell you.
I was out on my motorcycle and I'm sipping fresh squeezed orange juice, and I hate to tell you that.
Okay. Tell me, for those who don't know, we've had you on the show many, many, many times. What is the Lost Canadians, for those who don't know?
Well, there were some just very discriminatory rules written on citizenship law and the right of belonging in Canada. Done back in the mid-1800s, it was not just Canada, it was all the British colonies, as these laws were written by the British. And word for word, it stated, married women, minors, lunatics, and idiots will be classified under the same disability for their national status. Essentially, married women were property of their husbands, children were property of their fathers if they had been born in wedlock, and if they'd been born out of wedlock, they were property of their mothers. And those laws, in one form or another, are still in the books in Canada, but only for people born before 1947.
What's the latest from the Government of Canada? Chris Alexander says that broad reforms coming to the Canadian Citizenship Act. Are you optimistic?
Cautiously optimistic, because Jason Kenney said he would do this 3 or 4 years ago. I mean, in fact, we went and changed some laws. We've talked about this in your show. Bill C-37 was to take care of all of these nonsense. And what they did is they wrote in a recommendation from an all-party unanimous recommendation that all children born to a Canadian parent, regardless of whether that parent was the mother or the father, and no matter whether they were born in or out of wedlock, and here's the key, no matter when they were born, they should be a Canadian citizen. Jason Kenney came in and ignored that recommendation and put a starting date of January 1st, 47. So consequently, the nonsense, the mischief in law, is ongoing, but again, as I say, only for people born before 47, which is kind of interesting in that it means that we have laws in the books that are blatantly discriminatory, but we have a Charter of Rights and Freedoms saying you can't do that.
Hmm.
So, Chris Alexander, and I wish he would talk with me because I could help him through this. It's kind of hard to fix something if you don't know what's wrong. Hmm. So he hasn't talked with me. I'd like to, but I did admire him. And I give him a lot of kudos because he has made the statement that he wants to close the loopholes, and he says it's done a great injustice to a few people for decades. And Canada should have embraced these folks from the beginning. They should never have been disenfranchised. Well, you can't really go back from that statement, although in 2007 and 8, when we were doing testimony in Ottawa, the parliamentarians, as well as the governing party, the Conservatives, were saying the same thing. So does this translate to law? I don't know. And what I think is interesting is that I think that these people are already Canadian citizens, where they're writing legislation to change the law to say they're Canadian. We believe that the members of Parliament do not understand Canadian citizenship, that these people are already Canadian. And that gets back to another issue here. They claim that Canadian citizenship did not exist before 1947.
Mm-hmm.
We say that it did. And in some ways, they're saying the same thing, but they don't realize it. One hand isn't understanding what the other hand is doing. Last March, in the Supreme Court of Canada, the then Attorney General of Canada argued in a case regarding the Métis, and the whole issue came down to being, were the Métis citizens of Canada in 1870, yes or no? And the Attorney General argued successfully that, yes, they were full-fledged citizens of Canada, and the Supreme Court agreed. Now the same Attorney General, or it's a different Attorney
mm-hmm.
General.
The office, yeah.
Is now going to court with us to argue that citizenship didn't exist
right
before 1947. Now, there's a quandary.
So, Don, do you think that one of the big challenges here is that the economy of scale, if you will, this doesn't impact a large swath of people, so because it doesn't get the attention that it should?
Ah, now the lessons of the Holocaust. What was the population of Germany that was Jewish in the 1930s? It was about 6%.
Mm-hmm.
What is the population of lost Canadians that they have willingly left behind? 5%.
Mm.
And I suggest that human rights should include 100% of the people. Yeah. The lessons of the Holocaust are that bad things happen when you leave even a minority group behind. And this minority group includes all of Canada's war debt. These are the soldiers who gave their lives fighting for Canada in World War I and World War II. There are 114,000 of them. And if the government is accurate in their arguments, then they will never have been Canadian citizens. We might just as well go to Europe and scratch the maple leaf off their headstone. So Jackie is really fighting for those people. She is adamant that they gave their lives and should be recognized today as Canadian citizens. And how ironic that the same government arguing against us is getting behind a new national monument in Cape Breton to honor our war debt.
Yeah, I saw that. So I guess it must really come down to a cost thing, because if indeed this is acknowledged and they receive citizenship, then suddenly you have to start paying benefits or paying... No. Is that it? No?
That's not true.
Okay.
I believe you're right in that that's the perception.
Yes.
But they changed the laws backwards going back to 1947. That opened the door to about 1 million people. But 1 million people didn't suddenly cross over the borders, because if they had, it would have been the talk of the news all over the place if you had 1 million new residents.
Mm-hmm.
It didn't happen. So what are we talking about? People that are at least 67 years old. And so what took place when 1977 Citizenship Act came in? This is the what came after the 47 Act, was Canada was really scared about children born to Canadian soldiers overseas. And they even talked about the Korean children that were fathered by Canadian soldiers. Mm-hmm. And they said, if we retroactively grant them citizenship, you do not know what little bits of dirt you're going to sweep up off the floor. And that's a direct quote.
Right.
So we know that that's been the feeling. That's what they're doing for the World War I and World War II children. But remember, we've now captured the Korean kids. To capture the children, Eric Clapton is one of them, that was born to a Canadian soldier in England. Those folks aren't just going to automatically pick up their bags and move to Canada. And secondly, they don't qualify for the benefits of Canada.
Right.
You have to live in Canada and pay taxes to get that. And their pensions, if they move to Canada, are frozen without cost of index raises.
Mm-hmm.
And secondly, they have probably better medical in England than they do in Canada.
Yeah.
They've got their children, their money, their homes. They're not coming. It's an honorary thing to say, finally, to put an issue to rest. And it's a moral issue. It's an equal rights issue. So that's what this is about. It's craziness at its worst in government. I mean, why can't a government just say, look, we made a mistake, we're sorry, and put the welcome mat out?
Don, if people want to know more about this, we're just out of time, but there's lots more they can learn by checking out your website, I assume?
That's correct. LostCanadian.com, and I do appreciate it. You've always been very kind at giving us time, and you can see that over the years, we have made progress.
Don, I appreciate it, and I'm still envious of you and your Arizona lifestyle.
Thanks, Todd.
take care. Don Chapman, leader of the Lost Canadians.